Honorable members and our department and the entities, I have also acknowledged that the municipality, city of Johannesburg, is also represented. And but I think it would be much better. Sondela. Our agenda is very, very short today. Ngoba anilindelanga bazabona lo A, B, C, D. Silindele nje 1, 2, 3, 4. Mongezi molo. Because we have given you an ample time to prepare. So that is why we are not expecting any A, B, C, D, E, F, G, L, S. Straightforward to the point. That is what we are expecting today. But to make sure that who is here, so that we address each other accordingly, I would request that we introduce ourselves and then we get to the agenda. Only two items. I'm going to announce our circular 12. And there are other meetings that are scheduled after 12. So by 12 o'clock, we need to get out of this committee room. Mm-hmm. But as we puma, sing at the bank. So puma stribile. So with those few words, you are all welcome. I've got an apology for Ukholiswa, honorable members. Ukholiswa has got a bereavement of her sister. So the lady next to me is going to assist us in taking minutes. May we quickly introduce ourselves, starting by yourself, Honorable Pomen.
Good morning. My name is Gloria Borman. I'm a member of this committee.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Jabulani Sosibwe, whip of the committee.
Good
morning,
ladies and gentlemen. Makosaza Nanjobe, a member of the committee.
Good morning, Steven Smukalapa, member of the committee.
Sanbonan, Katama Barastol, I don't want to comment.
Good morning, I'm Patty Duncan, I'm a member of this committee.
Castle Matale, committee member.
Roy Bula, member of the committee.
A very good morning to everyone. I'm Nuka Mnisi, committee member.
Kiala from the Times newspaper.
Themba Kubula from Parliamentary Communication Services.
I'm Leopold Tsoi, research for the committee.
Simpson Moraba, National Housing Finance Corporation.
Kawadan Malata, NHPRC.
Morning, I'm Mona Mulepo from the NHPRC.
Good morning, Brian Muhulo, Social Housing Regulatory Authority.
Morning, Kulile Pokwana.
Social Housing Regulator.
Hi, there, everybody. My name is Belinda Peterson from the Korean Bushman Nation of Western Cape Town.
Morning, I'm Spahle Magadla from PMG.
Morning, I'm Thomas Shizi from the Office of DG, Human Resources, Human Security.
Ulapha kule office lapha ngaphesha uzongcetsa thina.
Yes.
Ukwephi office?
Ndichi.
Kwephi e Pretoria noma lapha eKapa?
La eKapa.
Ulapha eKapa. Oh, abaka introduce ke uzosebenza nami.
Le rumo kalako from ministry.
Thabo Maisela, City of Johannesburg.
Mongezi Mnyane, CEO NHBRC.
Good morning, members and colleagues. My name is Peggy Konyane from the Department of Human Settlements.
Good morning, Chairperson, Honourable Members. David Scrooby, National Department of Human Settlements.
Good morning, Chair, Members and Colleagues. Mbongeni Shabango from Human Settlements. Thank you.
Ajira Sali, Committee Section. Thank you very much, Siyazana Songengu. Kodwa ukukhona mbabini, but then that opportunity needs to introduce.
Good morning. My name is Bongani Mori from Gauteng Provincial Government Human Settlement.
Good morning, Chair. My name is Pumzile Maseko Sipubi from Gauteng Human Settlement.
We short again. Time is short again. You fraction as us. May we give the opportunity to Mbongeni to present the Lenaja. I'm going to start with the easiest. Start with the easiest one. Lenaja.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you, members. In presenting, you know, the progress report on Lenaja, today we are joined by the province, as they've just introduced themselves. We also have the city, you know, who are going to make additions, as well as NHBRC, actually, where necessary. The report is just to provide a broad overview of what has happened since the last meeting or progress report before the committee. So just briefly, the contents will deal with the background approval of the framework, which is necessary to keep reflecting on so that we keep reminding ourselves that the intervention that we have actually followed a number of processes, which also included this portfolio committee, where they made recommendations on the department's intervention. The audits and inspections conducted, the progress to date, the implementation. Just to recap, actually, I want to go through this, is that, you know, there were challenges around Lenaja, which led to the intervention, which was requested by the portfolio committee, which then led to the establishment of the special Lenaja intervention, actually, team, which, of course, accounts or reports to the committee on regular intervals. You know, then we just moved to audits. The province, as well as NHBRC, conducted a number of audits which were established or rather conducted to just verify the status of individual households that you have in and around Lenaja, the affected areas. You know, we always make reference to Lenaja, but the idea is that whatever program or plan that is going to come out of this process would also be used to intervene and try and find a solution to neighboring areas, especially Ennerdale and, you know, Loli, which are also affected in terms of, you know, the alleged criminal activities, the illegal sale and buying of government land and occupation, the illegal construction, and people being defrauded of their monies. So whatever outcome of this, because we are almost actually at the final stage, will be used to intervene in Loli and Lenaja. So NHBRC also conducted inspections. Firstly, the provincial inspections were aimed at, as one has indicated, establishing the financial status of each household. We looked at who are the occupants, how did they get to be where they are. We looked at whether or not they applied for assistance from government in the case they are classified as poor, and we looked at whether or not actually they did apply. With regard to the application, that is application for low-income housing, we had found that, you know, there were 495 records of people we spoke to who could be classified as poor. Out of those, we found that 101 were approved for HSS, and they will be, of course, getting assistance rather with taking the process of implementation, provision of housing forward. And about 60, you know, completely failed because they did not actually meet the criteria. So the inspections or audit by the province were aimed at saying that as the householder occupant to a particular stand? Because we have record of all the stands. You know, do you qualify? Or should you rather maybe be taken to other programs that we have as part of human settlement typologies or human settlement programs? So that is what the provincial inspections focused on. Then we had the next type of or category of inspections, which was done by, you know, NHPRC. Colleagues are here, but I will touch briefly on the purpose of the inspection. Theirs was to look at the structure. Remember that we have situations wherein people constructed houses, you know, without following any due process that is put in place, either by the laws of the land or by laws. So what then happened in this instance is that NHPRC went out to establish with each house whether the structure would pass the test in terms of the safety issues, whether the structure concerned was not built along servitudes, because then we could not have a situation wherein there's a blanket type of regularization of houses where you say they all stand. There's a need to determine which houses would stand if the areas requiring rectification are not that severe. Then we look at how best can that be dealt with. But that's not the only thing that is going to happen. Is that, of course, you look at how you ensure that those houses are safe. We are going to help them with what with ensuring that they put proper plans in place. Those plans go through the processes so that they get passed. And that, of course, you ensure that that house, if it does stand, it meets all the requirements and it is safe. And as a government, you can say that we allow that house to stand regardless of any issues that were there prior to actually the processes. But also to look at issues of servitudes. We found that some of the houses were built along servitudes, which means that then if there's a need to upgrade infrastructure in the area, you are going to have problems. But then we need to identify, you know, or we are identifying rectification measures to ensure that we don't normally or just generally destroy the structure, but to say, how do we correct? So the intervention is driven by an attempt on the part of government to regularize, you know, what we have in Linasia in terms of ensuring that people comply with the laws and bylaws. So NHPRC looked at the structure itself. Is it firm enough? Is it safe? Does it meet the perimeters or the requirements? That's what NHPRC did. The next set of inspections were done by the city of Joburg. City looked at issues of, you know, building control measures. City also looked at, you know, the connections for water and electricity. Where it is found that there was illegal connection, it's not a question of cutting. You know, we are working in terms of actual own processes and procedures of ensuring that we have those people actually apply and meet the necessary requirements so that then they begin to pay for services that they are utilizing. So that is why we had those inspections. They became key, and the findings of those inspections would then inform actually the implementation plan. What we are doing currently, we were drafting, you know, a final report, which of course will start from the challenges that occurred until today. As part of the report will include an implementation plan, which will touch on how do we hope to regularize instead of, you know, what happened in the past. As one indicated, we'll look at that plan and then look at implementing that plan or using it to address issues in the neighboring Annadale and Lolly. So the plan then, as soon as it has been completed, the report was due actually on Monday the 4th. I only have the summary, but it was late to circulate to the committee. It will be circulated, Chair, because the report will be taken to the broader split forum for discussion where we engage. Remember, as part of split, we have the following groups. You have the government, which is the three tiers of government, as well as the government's entities. We also have community organizations, plus, you know, the two groups of residents, actually, those that are loosely called illegal residents, as well as the legal residents. So now the report that we've just finalized, it is going to be taken back to that forum, so that then we have discussions. Remember, the interventions are informed by the framework, which is called the Linasia Intervention Framework, which was approved on the 18th of January this year by all the parties. So we want to ensure that the plan as we come up with, which of course will include what each government tier and entity has to do, will be taken to that forum for discussion so that then there is some kind of agreement. So that where there's no agreement, but people need to understand, you know, that we have a need to have an objective to regularize the situation and normalize life in Linasia. So then the plan will be actually tabled. We are also planning a meeting where we are going to sit next week, finalize the report as said with split. Once the report has been finalized with the implementation plan, the report and the plan will be given to the minister, the MEC, as well as the chairperson of the Human Rights Commission for them, of course, to look at it and endorse the implementation. I think what is critical is that whilst we have been engaging, there have been reports in the media of continued illegal activities. We have put in place a mechanism where these get reported. Most of them get reported either to us as national human settlements, others are reported to the province for actually a quick response. There was a report last week, Thursday, of people who were illegally connecting electricity from the street, you know, lamp street pole. That was reported, there was a response. So whilst attempts are made to regularize this thing, there are challenges, but one would say that plans are afoot to proceed. I would actually allow colleagues from the province to add, but basically, Chair, as we speak, you know, there is progress. The last thing I'd want to touch on is the issue of criminal elements. What are we doing as a government to deal with criminal elements? Remember, we had reported that 7 people were arrested, you know, the last time we were here. To this date, there have been developments. One, Mr. Ditau was found guilty, and his sentence actually was, I think it was last week, Friday, you know. I think it was last Friday, not this coming Friday. But he has been convicted. He was found guilty on a number of counts of fraud, defrauding the community. That's Mr. Ditau. On Monday, there was a report about a couple which was also actually found guilty on 13 counts of fraud, which includes the misuse of government, you know, letterheads to defraud community. So there is evidence as we speak, to a certain extent, unfortunately, that yes, we had government officials in our tiers of government who were involved actually in the scheme that we are dealing with in Linasia. And the courts are proving that indeed those people actually did participate in those activities. Now, it's not just claims that are being made or reports which are not substantiated. We have judgments as we speak. As we speak, Mr. Ditau will be sentenced. The two couple will be sentenced on the 6th of December. Mr. Zikali was tried but not yet actually convicted. His wife became a state witness but was also sentenced to a few years. We have Reverend Dlamini. Out of the 7, Reverend Dlamini was sentenced to 3 years behind bars. So we are still actually working with the Hawks, gathering more statements and evidence against more culprits. Some are still out there. I think we need to report that. The statements that are being collected with the assistance of the Hawks are helping identify other, you know, members of the syndicate that are busy, you know, still actually defrauding people. We also have some contractors who actually appeared before the court of the land. I think we need to report that. Who also took money from the people. Others did not build after they've been paid. Others did build knowing that, of course, the stands were purchased illegally. So we would say no one is immune from the situation. You find members of the public, that is the community, that is getting arrested or they're still going to get arrested. Secondly, there is government officials who have been arrested and convicted successfully. Thirdly, even the contractors are involved. It clearly states that the syndicates that were involved in, you know, the Linasia matter was not or is not a small syndicate. It clearly shows that they ensured that they had all the relevant structures to help them cover their tracks, to help them convince the community that indeed what they're doing, they claim, was legal. But to date, we can report that there are successes. In terms of progress on split, the report has been finalized, the plan is being finalized, and it will be taken to the department, the minister, the MEC, as well as the Chair of Human Rights Commission. People are getting prosecuted, and we are in a way responding to further reports of illegal construction. There is progress, progress will be reported, hopefully at the next sitting, actually, of, you know, the committee, which is next quarter or so. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Can I just add onto the presentation? I'll start firstly with the audit findings. In Linasia Extension 4 and 13, there were a total of 496 complete houses. And I just want to give you a breakdown of compliance with NHBRC, with building plan approvals, with water meters, and so on. Only 12 of the 496 have approved building plans. And the city of Joburg is still looking through the 12 to make sure that, because there are suspicions that some of them would have been illegally approved, so they are still sifting through the 12 to find out exactly which ones are legal. All 496, 98 have legal water meters from Joburg Water. 98. Encroachments, 50 houses are encroaching of the fully developed houses, which means they are built over the boundary line or over the building line. So depending on the severity of those, some of them may need to be demolished and built in the correct positions, or the whole town planning would need to be redone to correct those. Only 4 are enrolled with the NHBRC, and 12 were built by NHBRC registered buildings, registered builders. Also, what we found out from the audit, it was revealed that new names in terms of criminality were revealed, and those have been since forwarded to the Hawks, and investigations are going on the new names that came forward. And basically, when we looked at the audits, the 3 audits from ourselves, the City of Joburg, and the NHBRC, the conclusions that come out of the audit is that the fully built houses, the 496, are older than 5 years, have been in existence for more than 5 years. Chairperson, there are 496 fully built houses. And of those, they are older than 5 years, so therefore they would not qualify for NHBRC enrollment. So when we're looking at regularization, they would fall out of the enrollment, the 5-year warranty cover of the NHBRC. The incomplete houses, there were some incomplete houses that are still under construction, and the NHBRC has said they are late enrollable only if they qualify with their technical requirements. So each and every house would have to be audited in more detail, and NHBRC would suggest remedial actions to fix the houses and then to get them late enrolled. 17 houses are poorly constructed and should be demolished. That's also from the NHBRC report. So on the fully built houses, as part of the regularization, the occupants of those houses need to formalize their relationships with City Power and Joburg Water, which means they first have to have submit approved building plans to the city planning section, and then go to City Power and Joburg Water and formalize their relationships with those entities. So the intervention that Bongeni was talking about that was proposed, there are different steps in terms of regularizing on the fully built houses. The first step would be land surveying of the stands. To confirm the encroachment, the exact amount of encroachment, and then to redo. Most of the encroachments that were found were boundary walls, so people have sort of eaten into the neighbor's yard by building the boundary wall in the wrong position. NHBRC has done a level 1 forensic. I think they'll talk about it. They're going to do a detailed forensic for those houses that are enrollable, and that detailed forensic will also allow them to complete their enrollment processes. And thereafter, the land will be evaluated, obviously, on these fully built houses that are compliant, and then the land would be sold to the occupants of those houses. And from the beneficiary admin process that we undertook, we would be able to say which beneficiary is on which stand and what kind of subsidy do they qualify for or not. If not, then they would have to come up with the full amount. And then the last stage of regularization would be then the transfer of ownership after all the processes have been followed. Chairperson, the audit also revealed that some of the vacant stands are zoned for educational sites, some of them are zoned for parks, public open spaces, and other usages. So we have resolved that these would be devolved to the municipality and the other relevant government departments, obviously in line with the Gauteng disposal of land policy. And structurally unsound houses, like I said, those need to be demolished because they pose a danger to the occupants. And the occupants on those stands would obviously be also verified in terms of HSS to see if they qualify for a giveaway. If they qualify for a giveaway, they would be accommodated in the other projects. Or if they qualify for flips, then they can be built a house on that particular stand. I think we've also said that the any cost of rectification to the houses to bring them up to a structural sound stage would be borne by the homeowner themselves and not by us as a department. I'm just quickly going to touch on the progress on development of our planned housing project. We have identified 127 vacant stands in Lineage Extension 13, and those have been earmarked for the FLISP housing program. The planning stages on these 127 stands are complete. Geotechnical studies have been complete. The houses have currently been submitted for enrollment at NHBRC, and contractors have been appointed. We're just waiting for the finalization of the split to actually start construction of those houses and the adoption of these proposals by split. And in terms of town planning, Chairperson, properties have been, you know, there are big properties in Extension 4 that are more than 1 hectare. Those have been earmarked for subdivision and consolidation, and those have been submitted to the City of Joburg's planning department for approval. Thanks, Chair.
No. Are you happy, City of Johannesburg? All right. I just want to pass one comment. The report is good, but to us it's not good. For the people, the report that has meant to be good, it's not good. It's good for you. The report is good for you, the officials, not for the people. Much has been said. And it's in a way of given. Where is this that has been sent to us? I've been given this. This is only 9 pages. Of which I believe it was going to be much better if you have been given a full report. And then when you are presenting, you have got your slide. So you are denying us an opportunity. You have denied us an opportunity to engage with your report. Because you are well informed. Information. Because I am meeting you today. This is your meeting. You are not interested with it. See for my younger lay information and then we engage. So I call justice to what we have done to us. There's no justice at all. Because siyayifuna iprogress. Sifuna this issue ivalwe. We want this matter to be closed. You have got a lot ahead of you. If you are not going to be stuck, we have to move forward. So we are going to continue engaging, seeing information. But again, we'll request the information that you have presented in the department issue so that. So pin the seat as portfolio committee, see Kubukul, and then we can respond accordingly. You have got the figures there. To us, those figures are very much important. But I'm going to go give the opportunity to the honorable members to interact with the presentation. Honorable Bowman, honorable Peters, Steve, Mamuchabu, Bula, Petty, who else? Okay, Ashish, thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I want to say that, and I think I speak for all of us, we are actually very disappointed. I think the Chair's put it very well. But I want to say it's a year ago, and we followed up with meetings. We were there, I think, in January, the beginning of the year, and we were so impressed. You pulled together a whole team, and here we are at the end of November, and are still here us talking about we've still got to do, we will do, we are having, we are. It should all be together by now. And, I mean, it's not a train smash 500, just under 500 houses to be able to look at and to make recommendations. So I think, you know, and we heard last night that there's possibly a march. Now, we're not terribly sure whether that's going to be on Lanesia or Newtown or where it's, but it's in the air. They're going to be marching. Now, the question is, how are you engaging with the community involved in these? Because if it's all dragging on, as it seems to be, you know, these people, they were having their houses bulldozed, and they've been through a very traumatic time. Now, surely we would have regarded that as urgent. And the chairperson's absolutely correct. We can't work if we haven't got figures. A little story like this put together for us doesn't do anything for us. So I'm saying we need, chairperson, we need to have action. People must be able to see it. What are you going to tell the people when they're marching there tomorrow, if that's where they're coming to, or on Friday? You know? And then we don't meet with them because we're afraid to meet with them because we're too slow. So, Chairperson, I think this is all too slow the way we are moving. I'm pleased that we have got some figures, and I would think, I'm hearing that NHBRC can't because of 5 years and all this. This is a special case, a special case. And I think arrangements have got to be made so that these people are assisted. And if there are boundary lines or something, whatever, because this was something we called for when we were there meeting with you, that, you know, then maybe there needs to be a tweaking here and there, provided the neighbors are all okay with that. So, you know, I think there needs to be a little bit more creative thinking here, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, first of all, we are very disappointed about this report. Because we're supposed to have a consolidated report, because we are talking about the Renesha. But now, National Department is talking other language, and the provincial of Gauteng, the Gauteng province is speaking another language. So now we don't know which is which now in the zoo. But my concern, Chairperson, there is nothing that has been said about the continuing of illegal occupations. Because I'm from Gauteng, I know what I'm talking about. There's some continuation of illegal occupation in that area. You know, I think the council has they have information. I was there last week. So another thing, Chairperson, that I want to find out is if you check the report from Umbongeni, it talk about 595 classification as poor, but the approval was 101. And 60 were completely failed. What about the rest of those people? And the other one, Chairperson, is that one of 495 is older than 5 years. But so there's nothing that is going to be done about it. And the problem that Chairperson that I'm facing is that one of 4 enrollment with NHBRC. If they are talking about enrollment with NHBRC, but they are illegally occupying the land, what does it say? If you can understand, if you can, that what can be classified.
And the last one, Chairperson, my concern, Chairperson, is that one, if we can be helped by the Department of Human Settlement in Gauteng and the National to give us the complete report, one report from them. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks very much, Chairperson. I think let me echo the sentiments of my colleagues, and I think you've said it a mouthful. It's quite disappointing that it's almost 12 months since we've intervened in this saga. And I think maybe probably it's because Mongezi, you left the department, and there was a gap in leadership in steering this thing forward. Because of, I think there was a dropping of the ball. In January when we were there, we were very much happy. We had a very comprehensive report, a very decisive plan that showed what needs to happen and when. I thought this thing should be done by the end of June latest. But to see now that there are still a lot of gaps and loopholes that needs to happen, I'm quite disappointed. And I think the community would not be wrong to go to take to the streets because of, I think, it's been dragging. I mean, when the former minister intervened on this, it was on an agent basis. And for it to drag along, I think even the new minister hasn't briefed about this, I would presume, but I'm under correction. Because I think we can't engage with this report because of there's a lot of figures that has been raised, and we've been struggling to make sure that we write all those figures. But once we have it in writing, then we are able to, to interrogate the report. Because, I mean, for example, the issue of 7 people only convicted, and we only have 1 successful conviction out of the whole 7. I mean, it leaves much to be desired. And the issue of the statistics, yes, the 595 poor people that has been identified, and the approval of the HSS, and the 496 completed houses. And I think I'm worried about the reports that there is still continuing illegal occupation and illegal activities happening, because the last time we were given an undertaking that the security will be there to ensure that there is fair, and there is consensus in the split together with the residents to make sure that there is no further encroachment. Now, to hear that there is still further encroachment and further illegal activities happening, it's quite a concern for us here. And I would say, frankly, definitely, we just have to have a follow-up report on this one. But so far, it doesn't look good. Because of I think the other issue is the issue of the town planning for the city of Johannesburg. Because of we asked that there should be a proper town planning process done. All we hear that is that, oh, okay, there are zoning for parks, education, and other uses. Have the city already engaged on a process to formalize the new zoning for that area? You know, in terms of town planning processes, we don't know that if they've done that yet. And they have engaged with the legal homeowners in that to consult on that. So I think there's quite a lot. And the issue of most of these houses being unregistered, and some of the contractors being registered with the NHBRC having to go and build, we would want to hear from NHBRC what are they doing about this, because of its illegal constructors who have constructed having NHBRC certificates. So there is another angle there that we need to look at. And I think, again, the other issue of the older than 5 years, it's another animal on its own. Because of then what does it mean? What is it going to happen? Are we going to flout the rules? What are we going to do? Because of it's a big thing. And I think the more we drag, the more all these technical legal things will come. That is the problem I have with this thing. Because of, and I think one thing that we fail to understand, Chair, with this, is that this is a test case for everywhere in South Africa. Because of then it will mean anyone will say, okay, with what happened in Lenasia, then it can be emulated somewhere else. And I think that's the point we made when we met with the Gauteng department in January. And they understood that agency of why they need to move fast on this one and make sure that there is a clean sweep. Yes, we recognize there and there are pockets of progress, but not up to where it should be. And there are figures that are being thrown around here, and when you add them, they don't add up. We had 496 complete houses, only 12 approved, 98 legal water meters, 50 encroachment, 4 enrolled, 12 NHR builders. What about the other 17 demolished? So it's when you add these figures, they don't add up and show that people are on top of the game in knowing what is going on around here. Well, we welcome the 127 FLISP one, and we would definitely want to pursue that one. But, you know, Chair, I think the ball was dropped, and it's quite disappointing, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I think you hit the nail on the head. That I think that, we shouldn't just be singing around, but maybe we should try to compose a song that is entitled Victory. Our last visit, we found things were in a state of constipation. It still remains paralyzed. I think there's something that is not synchronizing here, or there are some problems. I think what we need to understand, first and foremost, you have the town planning, you have the housing code, you have the various subsidies, you have the programs. Then you have problems of legal interpretation. I think you need to come out very, very clear and indicate to us as to what is the destabilizing factor that precludes you from resolving problems of regularization and other aspects. It is pointless us bombarding you with a number of questions when you're going to respond and say to us, you have a legal problem with 123. Can you clear that mindset? Secondly, is that when you made reference to the issue of 127 FLISP, we welcome that. It is a positive direction, and more should be done. But just an area of clarity, whilst you might regularize and finalize that, the applicants, the beneficiaries, have that been concluded correctly, and is it within the database of the controlling authority? I need to understand this aspect of, I don't know, Chairperson, whether it was an expression or whether it was a statement that you have contractors that continue to defraud. Now, this is a glaring weakness on the side that somebody is not serious about constructing and rectifying all these problems that are there. Can you clearly indicate what is your process in contracting contractors? Don't you screen them? If you know that they don't have a track record, why get into more problems? In terms of the town planning scheme, obviously there is a process that you go about where you claim for, you made emphasis on boundary walls. And this is what is stagnating the process of regularization. Why did you not use the process of relaxation? That is within the law in order to rectify those problems. And lastly, Chair, I think it's important that when you speak about subsidies and beneficiaries, and who qualifies for which subsidy, obviously this should have a database. And you should start regularizing your process in terms of the code of the subsidies. Are you doing this, or are you putting all the eggs in one basket and you say that we have this huge problem and we cannot provide solutions? And I would like to know, we welcome the audit, but the audit is pointing out the problematic areas. after you have acquired the necessary audit and the information, are you utilizing the findings to bring about solutions, or is it just another song that the chairperson is talking? Yes, the findings, yes, the findings. And I don't want to sing that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think I need not to repeat what all my colleagues have just said. In fact, they've just said a mouthful. I think with the figures that they are not there, it's just deliberate. The figures that are not in this document. It's just meant deliberately so that we don't question much, because the time they are just thinking about the figures, it's not easy for us to write quickly while they, because they are talking about something that they know. Truly, this document, it's not helping much. The only thing that we were supposed to do is to listen to them. And I think it's important for them to tell us what actually happened out after the meeting in January. Because in January, it seems as if everything is going to go as fast as Comrade Honorable Makgalaba has just said, that may this issue was going to be closed maybe in July, June, July. But now it seems as if we are going back to the drawing board. And the chairperson, when she opens the meeting, she said, let's start with the Lynatia because that's the easiest one. Because we thought we're going to say 1, 2, 3 things that immediately after the meeting you did. What happened after that meeting? What went wrong? I think you need to tell us what went wrong. Why are you now taking us back? There are people, it's only one conviction. And there are people, new names. There are people from the government. Which government sphere are these people who have been convicted? Because in three spheres of government, in which one? The national, provincial, or local government? Where are they from? Truly speaking, the figures, when you are just trying to add the figures accordingly, no, it doesn't give sense to us. So I think we need to get a better document. I don't know, because time is against us, but we do need this. You need to give us the document that will show us, and the document that will talk to you all, not the national talking, telling us a separate story from others. No, just one story, so that we understand what's going on in Lynatia. Thank you. And also, the march that the Honorable Bowman was talking about. If people arrived here, what will we answer? What will we say? We don't know. We look like stupid people. We don't know everything. We don't know. It's not right. It's really not right.
Chairperson, thank you. I think I'm covered with all the questions already asked. Maybe just to give an input on our presenter, that we don't have tiers of government anymore. We talk about spheres of government. And that is very important, because there's a different meaning to it. Secondly, Chairperson, I want to suggest, since you came down hard on the format of the presentation being empty, I don't think this is the first time that we actually address it, and by now the National Department maybe can give guidance to the other spheres of government when they present to us, that it is inclusive of as much detail possible for us to prepare and then to ask the critical questions. And then just lastly, with this development now, when they talk about the 496,
houses. Is this inclusive of your SDF? Is it in there? If we must go and draw the spatial development framework, will we find this development in there? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. My colleague has covered me. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think my colleagues have said a mouthful about the dragging of this process. Surely, Chair, it's dragging for a long time now. The split was established on the 28th of November last year, and now it's the 6th of November the following year. It's a year now. And the report is still to be finalized and circulated to government structures. How long is that process going to drag again? It means that this matter, Chair, will never come to its finality. It's a problem. And even the final report to the MEC and the ministers, there's no fixed date for that. And there is another element here, Chair, in this report that is missing, the element of public participation. I don't think, Chair, we can be able to resolve our community problems or issues and challenges without their involvement. Because I don't think they can plan a match if they know exactly what is going on and what is happening. I think even in the, it transpires in this report that nothing is mentioned about the community themselves. Thank you so much, Chair.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Members. One, there's a gospel that we normally preach, that when there is a development, this is a development, noba yenzeke kanjani, ikona ngoku, it's our baby. Uma izenjani, we have to manage it. Now, there are structures. We want you to confirm if niyivile na imatch. Who are those people abane concern? How you have tried to address their concerns before bio march? Njobe beza umarcha Friday. Bana ngasinqetha nje ngalona nto. Because the gospel is preached that xa kune development, the development ayo ya beneficiaries. Ngeyalo community ekule area yonke, of which neze external structures zabantu abane concerns. Those concerns have to be addressed. If it's a particular society or whatever it is, I think you need to explain to us, what are you doing about it? Because it's a funny March Friday. Because this thing is a straightforward problem. SES believe the government is trying to address it. But if there are people who have got concerns, what are you doing to ensure that mabene understanding, a common understanding that government is trying to solve the problem and parliament is overseeing the process? We are hands-on on this in terms of overseeing the process. But the ball rests upon yourself. What are you doing? Number two, the technicalities, sometimes they don't work. Kwamanyama conditions. You are coming up with a failure to enroll for 5 years, knowing very well that situation is not as normal as the other situations. You knew you failed to implement PI. Anuzukomba iminwe kwabanye abantu, iminwe emine kwanye emithathu ikhombe nina. That's the bottom line. And we sanininika nje straight leyo inatsika iposition yetu as iparliament. Nokuqala uthayela indlu yakho before uqala ubona izibi ezikumnyumzi. We are not condoning. We strongly condemn what has happened in Lenasia. Saito openly. But what we are saying now, the situation is there. You must also look introspection. What was your contribution to that mess? And the murder was started in 2002. There were court proceedings sukela ngoko kuze kuzofika last year. Kwenzekani nenzani xa nibona ngakho movement nathini? So that is why I was saying it technicalities then, yes, but you must be careful. You must be careful because you might be the causes of the situation where we are now. But we are supporting you, fully support you in your efforts. I'm sure Nindivan. We are fully behind you in your efforts to make sure that thing is resolved amicably, legally. Ulegally akathethi ukuthi ke uthi hayi apha ku wrong, but what we need regular, we must follow with everything they are done in terms of law. Nithetha nge regularizing apha, nithetha kamnandi. Let's regularize it. It was illegal, let's regularize it. Nithetha kamnandi, sihamba nandi. Injalo. Now there's an issue of 12 houses. Can you assist us, Sisapukuti? As legal building plans, approved building plans, were they approved by the time these houses were built, or mhlawumbe they've approved through this process now? Le enikuyo manje uba unga clarify la leyo. The issue of 50 encroached, yeah, I think in your split, whatever that framework, there is an issue of rezoning or planning that should take place, so I don't think it could be an issue. Satho kwasekuqaleni sathi i-officials are involved. When we were interviewing that community, you were there. That community informed us that the reason why they built there, they were given plans by the officials who were wearing government t-shirts with government pins, whatever, identity. So you cannot ignore that. Those people were misled. There were people who misrepresented our government. So if punishment, you know, that is why Honorable Bowman is saying, that is a special case, but that special case, we ask the question, what lessons, what lessons have we learned out of this process? So that we share those lessons with the nation, with the whole country, so that as into zinga pinde, zenze kwe zinye indawo. Sine tisenge madoda, nama kosaza. Sincedisini kwenzeke loo nto, akwenzeke loo nto. Ndizawucela nithi nje qaba, siyagqitha ngoku, siyakunumber two. xasha liyashiya ningaqali kakhulu niphindaphinde into ebeniyithethile nibethe nje key points then sibethe ni way forward. Enkosi.
Chairperson, Chairperson, I think let's apologize to the members that we came to this meeting before our meeting as a three spheres, just to consolidate the report. We've been working very hard on separate occasions. The seat has been doing the work, the province and NHPRC. But there is a meeting that was planned for Monday to consolidate the report before we send it to you. We will therefore convene the meeting again and consolidate the report and send it to you with the correct figures for both Extension 4 and 13 so that you get a complete picture of what is the state of each house. We've gone to all of those houses. Some we've got no access to them because people are not allowing us to go in to do a proper assessment, but we'll put the report together on all aspects of the intervention that so far has been done. Secondly,
I just want him to clarify something. I didn't understand it well. He's talking about a meeting which was going to happen on Monday. Is it Monday next week or this past Monday?
You see, Bongeni spoke about the split meeting, which is that forum that was created by the former minister. But before we do that, as officials, we meet ourselves. So that when you go there, we go with one voice and with one report. That's the meeting that I'm talking about.
My question is very simple, Chair. Is it this coming Monday or the coming Monday?
Next Monday. It's next Monday, I'm informed. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. It's next Monday. So that then we consolidate the report. Then what members are raising, the concerns for the community, we're going to present this to that community because there is a framework that was agreed upon. So we're working to implement that framework. The action plan that we are presenting before you, as disjointed as it is, it's just because all of us are trying to do something very much urgently. And they will continue doing that, but we do apologize on behalf of the three spheres and the entities that are involved. And I'm sure, Chairperson, given the time, we can come back to the committee and present a very concrete and detailed report. Let me just also inform you, Chair, that maybe Mbongeni did not say where the officials are coming from. It's been publicized. The officials are coming from the city of Johannesburg that have been cited in this matter. So far, from the province and from national, none of the officials have been cited. But there has been convictions in the city of Johannesburg. Chair, the court cases are continuing. I've spent 2 days in court myself testifying against Mr. Zikali in court. Those cases are continuing. Unfortunately, if it's a court case, they're dragging their time. They're changing lawyers from time to time. But we'll bring also a report on how far those cases are, when does the prosecutor intend concluding on them. But as we are saying, members, we've done a lot of work, and I think we just need to prioritize the report short, medium, to long term. And then we'll bring back the report to yourselves. We do indeed apologize not bringing a consolidated report. But indeed, work is happening. That must be assured of that.
Just a follow-up question on the conviction. Is it only the city of Johannesburg and the provincial officials, how far is their process? Or there's no one who's been found with hands on the cookie jar?
Why can't we leave? Let's leave that for the consolidated report. Suzanne, is another step soon next week. We'll start up to 12 midnight. As I'm going to start. So, thank you very much, Mongis, let's wait for the consolidated report. Let's not elongate it now. But I would urge that I think the issue of people not allowing you to get into their houses, why can't you get a court? Because you are government, you are doing the job. You can't let people banganivumele ezindlini zabo. Ithini umthetho andikwazi ukufuna into kwamantye ningene kwezi zindlu zaba bantu. Ithini umthetho Bongeni, ithini umthetho? Because you are doing your job now.
Okay.
can apply actually if you need to. Yes.
Chair, we do have the stats and the ERF numbers of those houses now. And the issue is that for us to do as NHBRC a forensic investigation, we can't just do it on the boundary walls. We need to have access into the house. Now, when you get there, the occupiers are not there. But we do have a list now of which ERF number, and we'll apply the law, therefore, in terms of doing that. But initially, we did not know what is happening in each ERF. They are not there, yes. If you go to Lenaza, you'll see how big those houses are, the walls, how high are. And if we want to have any access, it's very difficult. But if we have to be accompanied by the law enforcement, we shall do that. But we do have now a list of which houses we've been able to access, which ones we can access, because people are actually denying that opportunity to access the houses. Remember, if you lock your house, I can't enter into your house. You'll charge me for trespassing. So we need to be protected as officials.
No. Chair, through you, I'm sorry. It's just that he contradicts himself. He says in some houses, there is no one there, so they can't access. So I'm saying nobody is stopping you. And then he goes on to say some just lock their houses so that we don't enter. Whether they know you, now you're coming, they lock you out.
They are doing it deliberately. You know, they did it to us. You know, when we were there, for the committee, we couldn't get access to other houses because you would see that when you are at a glance, there is somebody there. But they would close and even the curtains during the day. So they are doing it deliberately. That is why I'm saying the only thing that they can do, in department, no monkeys, they can apply so that they have to get access, because we have to close this thing. It has to come to a final, to the finality. Next year, iyaphela fourth parliament. Asizohamba nalento siyishiyele fifth parliament. This is a baby of the fourth parliament. Fourth parliament has to close this thing. Bazoqale yabo bona abazofika. Bangafikeli kulomhlolo. Siyavumelana. Enkosi, siyabonga. Makungene unumber 2.